Pastor Jerry is away vacationing for 2 weeks, a well-deserved, much-earned vacation. And so me and Pastor Jonathan are at the helm, and we hope we'll guide it safely in the absence of the captain. Amen. So I do encourage you, if you have any needs, if you just need somebody to talk to, pray with, call me or call Pastor Jonathan, and let's give our pastor a break. Amen. Let him focus on the Lord. Let him enjoy his family, and let him get refreshed. We know that when he's here, he gives 150%. Amen. And I know some pastors that are not quite as driven as our pastor is. I'm putting it nicely. I've been around a lot of pastors, seen a lot of ministers, and I promise you, we get more than enough. Amen. More than what we put in, we get much more out. Amen. Praise God. He is a giver, 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 and he loves to answer the phone. And if you call him, he's going to answer, and he's going to talk to you for a while because he loves you. But if I'm at Best Buy, I may not be able to take your call, but I'll slip into the break room, and I'll return your call and set a time when I can call you back. Amen. And if I'm not at Best Buy, then I'll just help you out as much as I can. Amen. And if the problem's too hard, I'll say, let's just wait till the pastor gets back. Amen. I love doing that. Amen. I pastored for 20 years and I had to take care of it, but I'm glad to say, well, he'll be back and he'll take care of it if I can't. Amen. Amen. If you love Pastor Jerry and First Lady Teresa, let's give them a hand. They may even be watching tonight. I'm not sure. We love you and God bless you. All righty. So tonight we're continuing on with our series on the fruit of the Spirit. So already we've talked about love and joy. So tonight's flavor of the week for the fruit of the Spirit, I thought you'd like that. Tonight's flavor of the week is peace. Ann Landers used to receive about 10,000 letters a month from people requesting advice on various topics. When asked what was her most common question, she said that people seem to be afraid of or worried about something. They're afraid of losing their health. They worry about their job. They're filled with concerns about their family. People are whacked out about their neighbors or frustrated with their friends. A great preponderance of letters to her described relational ruptures and family friction. In short, it seemed like people, she said, are looking for peace but can't seem to find it. Now, we're not sure about the Arab-Israeli conflict. We always are hoping for peace. We wonder how long it will last, the false peace that they have, before something else ruptures. In fact, I read an incredible story this week about a father who was so filled with anger and anxiety and stress that he punched out Cookie Monster. Does anybody remember Cookie Monster on Sesame Street? And sometimes I feel like a Cookie Monster. I love a chocolate chip cookie, brother. I'm telling you, if Esau sold his birthright for a chocolate chip cookie, I think I could feel his pain a little bit. That's terrible, but that's how much I love a chocolate. I wouldn't sell my birthright for it, but I would be half a bit tempted, because a good chocolate chip cookie is something else. But here's how the story appeared when I read it. It says, here's a man's plan. His plan was to have his young daughter meet Cookie Monster, but it crumbled when he was arrested for allegedly assaulting the furry blue Sesame Street character. Police say that the man was upset that Cookie Monster would not pose for a picture at the Sesame Street theme park, and because he would not, or the Cookie Monster would not pose for a picture, he kicked Cookie Monster, and of course, it was a costume, and inside the costume is a real human. And so the police were called, and the person who had the costume of Cookie Monster suffered a sprain and bruised ribs, and was injured in her back and neck. And so he was charged, listen to this, with assaulting Cookie Monster. Now, folks, that explains the world that we live in. From road rage to Cookie Monster. People just can't seem to keep it together. Conflict, turmoil. But there is an answer. There is hope. There is something that we have access to and the benefits of. And it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. So I want you to stand tonight, and I want us to read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And I should have had you to open your Bibles or look with us on our overhead to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'll springboard from this as tonight we look at the fruit of peace. The fruit of peace. Amen. If you're glad to be here, say amen. While you're finding the scripture, I do want to let you know we have a guest coming Sunday. Her name is April Rains. She is a phenomenal, well, she's been here a couple of times before. I will be preaching Sunday morning, but she will be our guest solo. So she's going to be singing three or four songs, blessing us Sunday morning during the service. So be sure to invite some folks to be here. We're going to have a great day Sunday morning and Sunday night. So just wanted to let you know that Sister April will be in the house Sunday morning. She's got a wonderful singing ministry, a wonderful testimony. I know you enjoyed her last year, and I know she'll be a blessing this year. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, if you're there, say amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Read it out loud with me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I want to read out of the New Living Translation as you want to look at your King James or on the overhead. But the New Living Translation says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And I like that translation. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Say that with me. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, tonight anoint the preaching of your word. We'll give you the praise, Lord, as I decrease and you increase. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, before I dive into peace proper, I want to kind of go back and make a few statements about the fruit of the Spirit in general. Because I want to clarify into your mind the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's always good to refresh our mind on what it is, the nature of it. Because there's such beauty in the way the Bible expresses these traits and these attributes, lumped them in what's called the fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing I want you to remember is that it is the fruit of the Spirit, not fruit. And by the way, the title of the sermon tonight is Peace in 3D. I started to say Peace in HD 4K 3D, but that was too much Best Buy coming through. So I just said Peace in 3D. All right, Peace in 3D, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But first of all, remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Say that with me. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's really one multivitamin display of Christian character. I'm going to repeat that. The fruit of the Spirit is just one multivitamin display of Christian character. Christian character. Because think about the fruit of the Spirit. You really cannot have one without the other. That's why it's not fruits. It's not like you can take a little bit of self-control and not have any love whatsoever. I don't care how self-controlled you are. If you don't have joy in your life, it's not going to do any good. Amen. I don't care how much kindness you have if you don't have, self-control. Or I don't care how much, joy that you have if you don't have kindness. You can say, well, I'm joying in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And blow your horn in road rage. I mean, if you know that, you know, you can't have one. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? And you can have self-control. You can be very self-controlled, very disciplined. But if you don't also have love, then you're not really getting all or displaying all, or God is not working in all the ways He wants to work. He wants us to have, and we may, now don't get me wrong. You may be a little weak in self-control and a little stronger in joy. But the fact is, you've got them both. Amen. And it's through the Holy Spirit. So don't get in the idea that, well, I'll take an apple, but I don't want that orange. If you want love, joy, and peace, then you need to embrace kindness, gentleness, and self-control. and those other things. Can I get an amen out here tonight? And peace. So it's a package deal. Say that with me. It's a package deal. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit, a multivitamin display of Christian character. And I want to, number two, I want to ask, what do we really mean when we say fruit? Fruit. Let me explain it this way. Fruit in the sense of the word witness. Look at those three words, witness, wellness, and worship. When we talk about fruit, we're talking about really being a Christian witness. Because when I think of fruit, I think of bananas on trees. I think of oranges on the vine. I think of the watermelon down in the garden where you can see. In other words, fruit is something that is witness or that is seen. The red apples on the tree. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, what we're talking about is those things that help us to bless and witness to others. For example, when somebody does us wrong on the job and we have every right to fire back, or maybe we've even been mistreated, and we keep our self-control, and we not only keep our self-control, but we respond in love, you know, people see that. And when people see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it really makes them want to see what's going on. And they begin to realize, I need some of that, because if it was me, I would have done X, Y, Z. But why didn't you do X, Y, Z? Well, it really wasn't me. It was the fruit of the Spirit coming in to my life. So in other words, when people see the fruit, in other words, it's a red apple, it's an orange, it's a super yellow banana. That yellow banana is so appealing. You go to the grocery store, and man, you just pick up that red orange, that red apple and that orange and that yellow banana. And now you don't pick up some old bruised banana. You pick up something that's really, really appealing to the eye. And so when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we really talk about something that the world sees. It makes us, or it entails us being a witness. Don't you know we are to be a witness to a lost and a dying world? And when we do not respond the way the world does, when the fruit of the Spirit comes out of our life, that makes a great impact. You see, Pastor Jerry may not can preach down there at the job that you work at, but you can preach. How? Through the fruit of the Spirit being a witness through you. So when we talk about fruit, we're talking about something you see that's appealing. We talk about it being a witness. Somebody say amen. Another thing when we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit is the word wellness. Wellness. Because, again, going back to the fruit, now, I love bananas, but when they turn black, I won't mess with them. Do you? If that banana's black, something ain't right. Amen. Darnell and I went to Harris Teeter Sunday night. We didn't have church Sunday night. And since we don't have children, we went to see, we had lunch with my mother, and then her mother and father, we had dinner with the night before, because they're very busy on Sundays. And so we actually had Sunday evening off. And it's very good every now and then to have some time off. Amen. And I love going to church. I love, praise God for it. A day in His courts is better than 10,000. But I can tell you that every now and then, to throw up my legs, have a little extra breather, it's a good thing. Amen. And so we went to Harris Teeter, and we said, well, let's get us a watermelon. It was a beautiful night, and we didn't have, you know, the pressure of rushing and having to be somewhere. And we cut in that watermelon, and I'm telling you, of all the watermelons I've ever eaten, I saw yellow in it. All inside it was yellow. And I knew yellow ain't supposed to be no watermelon. It's supposed to be what color, church? It's supposed to be not just red. It's supposed to be dark red and juicy. And so when there's something not right, you can tell it. And I'm going to tell you, look at your life. Put the mirror. Don't look at brother so-and-so and preacher so-and-so. Look at your life. Is there some bruising? Is there some blackening? Is the love not coming out too good? Is the patience kind of rotten a little bit? Fruit tells us real quick if something's wrong. Amen. I mean, you know, it's not like like a vegetable or something that you really don't know it's wrong until you get into it. But the fruit, you can almost tell almost immediately when things are not right. And so look at your life daily and say, Lord, make sure the fruit of the Spirit is like it should be. Let there be no sores. Let there be no bruises that I'm carrying from somebody's hurts or some failure. Let that apple in my life be red. Let that love be hot. Let that peace be secure. Let that long suffering or patience, let it flow through me as you've been patient to me. Let me be patient to others. And so the fruit of the Spirit speaks of your witness. It also speaks of your wellness. And then thirdly, the fruit of the Spirit speaks of your worship, because that's what it's all about. The fruit of the Spirit is offering up a life to God that's committed to Him. That's, you honor Him when you allow the Holy Spirit to produce love. You honor Him when you have the joy of the Lord in your life and you release that. You honor Him when you're kind and when you have faithfulness and when you have self-control. Matthew chapter 5 and 16, go to that scripture. It says, let your light so shine before men. Here is the fruit of the Spirit. If we can go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Just give me a thumbs up when you got it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Now notice, they see your works, but they don't glorify you. They see your works. They see juicy fruit. Amen. They see that bright red love. They see that great yellow self-control. They see that wonderful orange of meekness and tenderness. And they see how you respond. And they see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And it calls, I have not, it's very, unless I'm full, unless I've just eaten, when I see fruit, I automatically get a look. I want to taste it. I want to try it because I know it's going to be sweet. I know it's going to be good. And so when you let your light shine, they see those good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven, and He is worshiped and He's glorified. And what a mighty God we serve, and what a great church we are when we are the church in the world, and we show people the kindness and gentleness and self-control and meekness and temperance and love, joy, and peace. Thank God for juicy fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I don't have to make this statement. It's kind of tired and true. It's true, but it's said so much we get tired of it. But, you know, you can have the gifts of the Spirit. But really what makes a difference, the gifts of the Spirit really operate, can operate in the world, but mainly operate in the church. But, now don't get me wrong, they do operate in the world as well. But the fruit of the Spirit is really for the world, to let them know that there's a God in heaven. Amen? And by the way, here's a third statement about the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, fruit, not fruits. Say amen. Now, I've seen some Fruit Loops around here and around there and at Best Buy and at other places and at East Carolina. And every now and then, I've been a Fruit Loop myself when I got all messed up. But it's fruit, not fruits. And it's fruit in the sense of wellness, witness, and worship. And then please understand that Jesus, my final statement, Jesus displayed all the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. He displayed all of the fruit of the Spirit. He was completely gentle, meek, and lowly. But he was also self-controlled. I mean, he's hanging on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. But because of the fruit of the Spirit, he had self-control and said, I will stay on the cross. And what about joy? Jesus had joy. It said, for the joy set before him, he despised the cross. What about you, when Pilate, when they slapped him on the face, I mean, you're talking about meekness. You're talking about humility. You're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. You know, I was just reading the other day in the book of Mark where the storm had come up and the boat was going back and forth. And the ESV version said that Jesus was below deck on a cushion in the midst of a storm. Now that's peace. Amen. And we know he had the fruit of love in his life. I mean, it was God so loved the world. Amen. So really, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't quite get the love and self-control and the gentleness, if you kind of get a little confused, just be like Jesus. Somebody says it's all about Jesus. If we love like Jesus, live like Jesus, walk like Jesus, act like Jesus, if we decrease and he increases, you'll have the fruit of the Spirit because you have Jesus. Amen. Would you give Jesus a hand of praise here tonight? He epitomizes the fruit of the Spirit. And so I said all that just to kind of remind us, to kind of keep us on focus. And really, I want you to be hungry for the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, the Holy Spirit produces it in our lives, but I will tell you this, God also honors our prayers when we ask for things. Because when my apple gets bruised, I'm saying, Lord, would you help me? Because, you know, I'm not showing love like I need to. So prayer is a big part of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And so tonight we come to the fruit, the juicy fruit of peace. And I want to give you peace in 3D, three dimensions of peace. And I want you to keep what I just said in the back of your mind. So number one, I want to talk to you tonight, peace in 3D. Number one, the peace with God vertically. Say amen. By the way, it's David Johnson's birthday. And I think we ought to just stop right now and sing happy birthday. David, come on up here, brother. The reason I'm doing it right now is because I forgot to do it before I started preaching. And I'm going to forget it after I preach. And there's a lot this young man does behind the scenes. There's a lot he does. And we ought to praise God for him and appreciate what he does. Love you, my millennial friend. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Darnell signing. Happy birthday. We love David. Happy birthday to you. Now I got two things for you. Do you want an Apple gift card or Amazon gift card? Or you just want cash? Cash is fine. That's my man. All right. Number two, if you want to go to Cracker Barrel tonight, you got a free meal unless you got a date. If not, I'll give you a rain check. Okay. All right. Cracker Barrel. Hey, he's a Cracker Barrel. Amen. Give him a big hand. Happy birthday. We love you. Now, if any of you want to slip in, he said he wants cash. Amen. So if any of you got some dollar bills or $5 bills down there, just bless him. Listen, you don't see him a lot up here. But I tell you, he's running the show back there. Amen. And he's doing an awesome job. One more time. Let's give Brother David a good hand. We love you. Amen. He had me worried during the revival because I said, David, I need you here every night. I was worried like worried couldn't be. My apple was having a bruise on it. Amen. But let me tell you what. He had it lined up. And even though he couldn't be here, everything went without a hitch. So thank God for Brother David Johnson, a young man in our church. Peace with God vertically. And by the way, your girlfriend was in Best Buy yesterday. I just want you to know. Did you know that? Okay. All right. So she was looking a certain present for you, and I'll talk to you about that later. Amen. The peace with God vertically. Somebody do this vertically. The peace with God. Somebody say peace with God. So the fruit of peace entails three things. Peace, number one, with God. Now, what do we talk about? What do we mean by that? We're talking about being converted or being saved. Romans 5 and 10, if you can go to that scripture, Brother Blue. Romans chapter 5 and 10 says, and just give me a thumbs up when you have it up there. That way I'll know. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So before we got saved, literally, we were what? Enemies of God. Think of that word enemy. That means opposing. That means force. That means not on the same team, not on the same page. Does that describe you before you got saved? When it comes, I wasn't on the same page with God. Before I got saved, I was doing things that God said shouldn't be doing. And I was thinking things God said I shouldn't be thinking. Now, mind you, I was only 12 years old, so I wasn't in sin that deep. But it was there. Had God not saved me, I would have gone into it. I was by nature an enemy of God. And here is God in His holiness. And here is man in His sinfulness. Man in His sinfulness, God in His holiness. And there's no way the two are enemies. The two are enemies. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and He touched the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man on a cross, at the cross, at the cross, at the cross. And we who are enemies are now reconciled and we are together and we are on the same team and we have the same priorities. And yes, I still fail and I sin at times, but God is not my enemy any longer. He picks me up and sets me back on my feet. And as far as my eternal, man, I was scared that I would go to hell. Now, people talk, and the people just blow my mind. Well, we don't preach about hell. We don't want to scare people. Let me tell you something. I'd rather scare you into hell than let you slide there laughing all the way. Or scare you from hell. Scare you from hell. Sometimes I get my tongue tangled. Sorry. But please understand that when I got saved, I didn't have peace. Brother, I was under conviction. I thought, boy, I'm telling you, before I got saved, I knew I needed to be saved, but I didn't want to get saved because I was an enemy of God in my mind. And I didn't want holiness. I wanted sin. And I enjoyed it. And I would go to bed at night and I would get up in the middle of the night so afraid the rapture took place. I'd go into the next bedroom to see if my little 1-year-old sister was still in the bed. And I'd look in there and I'd go in there and she was still here. I'm like, whew, I didn't miss the rapture. Would to God conviction came on that to people again. Would to God. They preached the coming of the Lord so strong in the Pentecostal church that I grew up in and other churches that I'm telling you, I knew He was coming before I'd ever graduate from high school. And that was 1989. But the point I'm trying to say is that I was not at peace. I couldn't sleep without being afraid of the rapture and me being left behind. The thoughts of hell terrified me and I knew that I needed Jesus. And one day, oh happy day, I was burdened by the sin and I found my way to an altar and I asked Jesus Christ, oh God, would you forgive me? Would you wash me in your blood? I'm so sorry I ever sinned against you and that I didn't accept you sooner. And I'll tell you that night, Sister Rose, the burden of that sin rolled away. And guess what I now had? Instead of turmoil and anxiety and conviction, I had peace with God. I knew I was born again, and a new name was written down in glory. Somebody that's got peace with God tonight ought to shout about it. That's the peace of salvation. Peace with God. Now, the byproduct of... Now, think about that. There's no devil in hell can take that from you. There's no person on earth that can take that from you. When you have peace with God, when you are His, and you have peace with God, everything's okay between. Not because you're self-righteous, but because you have taken Him at His word, you have repented, and you're walking with Him, and you're serving Him, and you're loving Him, and you delight in His word, and you want to serve God more and more and more, then you have peace with God. Say amen. Now let me ask you a question. If you got peace with God, really, should you ever, ever lose your peace in any other area of life? Well, I may be having a foreclosure, and I know that's a bad thing. But did you know that I was reading in the book of Leviticus? Read the book of Leviticus. I tell you, there's some powerful stuff in there. But I was just reading the other day about the Jubilee year, the 50th year. So if you buy a piece of land, you can only have that land until the year of Jubilee. And at the year of Jubilee, it was very clear in the book of Leviticus, all land goes back to the original owner. You know what God was trying to teach his people? God was trying to teach his people this. This world ain't your home. After a while, you're going to leave it. It all belongs to me. Glory to God, it belongs to me anyway. And we're going to a land that all belongs to God. We're not going to own property in heaven. We are his property in heaven. Amen. So don't get so attached to this world and business. And thank God for business. Pastor Jerry has an anointing for business and in the business world and business leaders. And I applaud these business owners that employ people. And thank God for companies and that, you know, people like, well, I'm not for big business. And I'm like, really? Well, who's your cell phone with? Well, AT&T. Well, who's going to provide it if they shut down? I'll go to Verizon. Well, guess what? They're big business too. I don't like listen, big business is nothing but a bunch of smaller people like you and me working. Amen, somebody. Now the executives may do things we don't like, but listen, thank God for business. But let me tell you, there's nothing like the King's business. One day we're going to lay down. I ain't going to work at Best Buy no more. I'm going to be in glory. Telling people about Jesus. Somebody say amen. Peace with God vertically. Number two are to bring the peace of God internally. That's point two. Peace of God. That's peace in 3D is vertical. And really, that should take care of all of it. But listen, the peace of God internally. We struggle with that when we do go through a foreclosure. When the doctor does give us a negative report. All of a sudden, our peace gets all shook up. Somebody doesn't speak to us. Or somebody does us wrong. Our peace gets messed up. But can I tell you, that's when the fruit of the Spirit, amen. That's when the fruit of the Spirit, it's all about the Spirit and not about you. Because really, if I've got peace with God, then I can claim the peace of God. And the Bible says that Jesus said in John 14 and 27, he said, peace I leave with you, that my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Every one of Paul's 13 letters begins with the greeting of peace. Some of them end with it as well. The church at Thessalonica needed this encouragement because they suffered from oppression and persecution, and they were confronted with the problem of immorality. They were grieving over those who had died and those who were battling false teachers. But go to, brother, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. Although they were going through all these problems. By the way, anybody have problems lately? Come on. Anybody out there had the devil to attack your peace? Has anybody struggled with some issues? People, money, problem, church, whatever. But listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. Now, somebody say now. I'm not talking about tomorrow's peace. I'm talking about right now. The Lord of peace will give you peace always. The Lord will be with you all. Thank God, the Lord of peace himself. He gives you peace and he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. And I will bless his name again. The Lord of peace is in this place tonight. Be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You say, Brother Ricky, I just got laid off from my job. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes things get on my mind. And you say, Brother Ricky, you don't have any troubles. Ha! We all got troubles. Issues. Problems. Challenges. Disappointments. Discouragements. Misunderstandings. But look at what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made. No, stop right there. Don't be anxious about anything. I was standing in a pulpit at Smyrna Church. It wasn't my last Sunday, but it was like two Sundays before the last Sunday. I didn't have a house to live in. I didn't have a church to preach at or pastor. I didn't know what the future held. And I remember that morning reading the scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you." And when I read those words to there was 200 people sitting out there. I said, when I read those words, "I go to prepare a place for you," I stopped. And the Lord just spoke in my spirit, said, "Son, I have prepared a place for you." And if you'd have told me that I'd be here at Westmoreland, living over on Lamb Road, if you'd have told me I was going back to Wilson, I would not nary have believed it. Amen. But God gave me peace in the midst of the storm. I remember packing up the parsonage. And folks, me and Darnell, we don't have any kids, but I'm going to tell you what, we got a lot of stuff not to have kids. We got a lot of stuff. My peace is being tried right now. And moving is not fun when you got to. Now, when you get to move to something better or nicer, it's a whole lot better. But when you got to, and Sister Renee, I was moving furniture and I was rolling stuff up to the U-Haul, and I'm going to tell you, okay, buddy. All right. I was rolling stuff up the U-Haul and I was ill, upset. My peace was gone to pieces. And by the way, the peace of God will keep you from going to pieces. In fact, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, no. That you got some bruised banana when you're doing that. Come on. We want some yellow banana when the peace of God says God will see us through. But I remember I had the dolly. Is that thing called a dolly where you put like a box, you lean it back and roll it up? It's called a what? A hand truck. And I was just pulling that thing and I stood at the top of the U-Haul and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was thinking about all the people that didn't do me right, and God didn't do me right, and the bishop didn't do me right, and you didn't do me right, and Darnell didn't do me right, and Jesus didn't do me right, and you know how the devil plays with your mind, amen. And all of a sudden, the scripture came to my mind, "Rejoice in the Lord." I stopped again. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking to myself. David and Kurt, I talk to myself, and guess what? I'll even talk back. We have a two-way conversation. I'll stand in the mirror and say, "Look here, buddy." But Sister Dorothy, I want you to know, my whole attitude changed. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You know what? I didn't want to have to go through this. I didn't want to have to pack up my stuff. But you know what? My God is good all the time. He's got a plan and a purpose. Ain't no devil can keep me from heaven. I've got the peace with God. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to glory anyway. I'm here to tell you tonight, the peace of God passes all understanding. Don't be anxious for anything, but by everything by prayer, and rejoice in the Lord always. When they love you, rejoice. When they hate you, rejoice. When the doctor says you're good, rejoice. When the doctor says I gotta operate, rejoice. I'm telling you, whatever the situation, we are more than conquerors. Come on and praise Him tonight and rejoice in the Lord. I thought about old Peter. Go to Acts chapter 12, verse 6. So this is, I'm closing, but this is peace in 3D. Peace of God horizontally, say amen. Then the peace of God internally, say amen. That's the peace of God, peace with God, peace of God. And I thought about old Peter. They were going to execute him the next day. They were. And I ain't got time to read the story. But look what, can you see Peter? They're going to kill me. I'm only 45 years old. You know, I was real faithful to Jesus. You know, I preached the day of Pentecost, 3,000. I mean, what, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm going to die tomorrow. You know what Peter was doing? Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him for, would have, the same night, Peter was what? I got to tell y'all something funny. We kind of lay back on Wednesday night, so this ain't a real scripted, you know, just kind of flow with the spirit. But the cat that Darnell has sometimes gets behind my head and falls asleep. Let me let the kids come in. They may like this. And we're talking about the peace of God. Y'all ready for this? So the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. We have peace horizontally. Say amen. Vertically. That's the peace with God. We have peace of God, which is internally. So if we have peace with God, why not have the peace of God when you're going through trials? And Peter was about to be executed and fell asleep. And so I was going to tell you about Darnell's cat that gets behind my head sometimes on the couch. So he goes back there and he falls asleep. And I'm reading a book. The TV's not on. Ain't nothing on. But Brother Doug, all of a sudden I start hearing something. The cat is snoring. And it just, he'll snore, and then I'll read a few more paragraphs. Then I'll read a little bit longer. And you know what? If my cat is so at peace that he can snore, how much more me, a child of God, redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus? You mean to tell me that cat's got more peace than some of us do? Give me a break. My goodness, the God is good all the time, and all the time God, he turns the curse into a blessing. And you may be down, but you won't be out. And God is still on his throne, no matter. And if they're going to crucify you tomorrow, just go and go to sleep. By the way, an angel came in and said, Peter, wake up. You ain't going to die until God gets ready, and I'm taking you out of this place. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Oh, thank you, God, for the peace of God. Stand with me tonight, because I ain't done preaching, but I'm done. Amen. That's one way to end on the cat snoring. Amen. Lord, when the pastor goes away, things happen, right? That's right. But listen, let me close with this. We have the peace in 3D. Peace of God horizontally. Peace with God horizontally. Say amen. Peace internally of God. Say amen. And then the third D is the peace for God horizontally. What do you mean? If I'm at peace with God and God told me to be in peace, then guess what? If I have it this way, then I also need to have it that way. And I need to have peace with everyone that I can. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know what the opposite of peacemaker is? Are you a troublemaker? Do you stir things up? Do you get on the phone after church and say, you're on your way home, you're down Tillman Road, you've been on your cell phone complaining about something in the church. Now, if I hit you, I'm not got anybody in mind, but if I'm shooting down the hole and you happen to be there, then that's a different thing. Amen. But listen, we don't need to be troublemakers, because why? We have the peace of God. We don't need our juicy fruit to have a big old bruise on it. Amen. Nobody wants to eat a piece of apple that's got a big old brown spot on it. No, we need to be peacemakers. Can I get a witness out there? Jesus didn't tell us to be peacekeepers. He said, listen, people misquote that scripture, Brother Philip. They say, blessed are the peacemakers. What they're thinking is the peacekeepers. Well, I'm just going to keep the peace, and I'm not going to ruffle any feather. And that's good. But listen, just keeping the peace ain't what the scripture says. The Bible says be a peace. That means when somebody comes negative, you go positive. Oh God, I got to quote Michelle Obama. I know she was our first lady, and we give her honor for the 8 years, and we were glad to see him come. And And you know the rest of the story. But she did say this, and I liked it. When they go low, we go high. Oh, that's a peacemaker. Hallelujah. That means if you hurt me, I'm just going to rub it off and say, God, I love him and forgive. Can I get a witness out there? Would you step out of your seat and let's have peace flow like a river at Westmoreland Church? My goodness, we don't need to be upset with one another. We don't need to be upset with the deacons or the preacher. We need to have peacemakers. Are you going to come tonight? Because you say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm at peace. Well, guess what? You might have some troubles tomorrow. So why don't you come on down and let's praise God. Brother David, if you'll just play something softly in the background. If you just got music, it would be fine. But if you have singing with it, that'll be fine. But let me tell you what. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with two things. Peace. Somebody say peace. Saint Francis of Assisi. He said this prayer many years ago. Now, he was a godly man. And you can find this. But he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. When I'm at work at Best Buy, help me to bring peace to that place where there's conflict. Even if I'm hurting internally, peace in 3D, horizontally, say amen. Internally, say amen. Did I get it wrong again? That's because I went to East Carolina, by the way. So some of you might want to go to NC State, just heads up. But listen, peace vertically, say amen. Peace internally, say amen. And peace horizontally. Let me tell you, Brother David, before you just press pause on that real quick, throw up Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And this is what I want us to do tonight. We're going to play that song. Peace. Say amen. Do you need it? Do you want more of it? Well, here's what happened. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go to the next scripture, right on. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Come on, raise your hand up. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Let's keep on going. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall, look, go to the next scripture. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Go ahead, Brother David. And I will bless them. Now, I want you, first of all, vertically to just enjoy the peace of God. Father, we receive the peace of God. The Lord bless you and keep you, Brother Kyle. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you, sir. And he's going to bless you with peace. He said, I will bless you coming in and going out. And you may be going through a valley, but you're on your way to another mountain tonight. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, come on, vertically, just thank God for the peace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the peace of God. That's a gift that you have given to us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Lord, come on, put your hands on your middle part here and just say, Lord, I want the peace of God internally. God, I want to walk in peace. I want to embrace it. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be shining in my life of the peace of God. Let not your heart be troubled. I don't know what decision somebody has to make here tonight, but God is saying, I'm already made the decision, and I'm already going to bless you. I'm going to bless you coming in, and I'm going to bless you coming out. I'm going to bless you in the city, and I'm going to bless you in the country. Oh, thank God for that internal peace that comes like a river that passes all understanding. Now, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to extend that peace horizontally. I want you just to pray for one another right now. And I want you to say, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. And we're going to be at peace at Westmoreland. And we're going to love one another, even when we fail, even when we disappoint one another, even when we somehow or another miss the mark, or when we fail. Oh God, we just come on, extend that peace to one another. Oh God, let peace be in. Lord, let the, I know peaceful churches are growing churches. The book of Acts says that the peace of God came and the churches grew. And oh God, I know the devil wants to bring strife, division, discord, and disunity, but that's not going to be here in this house. We're flowing together as one church, one body, not this one and that one. Oh God, we extend our hands horizontally. You're my brother. You're my sister. Take me by the hand. And together we're going into the promises. Come on, join hands all across this altar. I believe God wants to bring us together like never before. Join hands with the young. Join hands with the older. Join hands with you, with the black. Join hands with the white. Join hands with the Mexican. Join hands.